Greetings to each of you in Jesus' name. It's good to be here with you again today. I was reminded again that time does move on. People get older. Contemplating the fact, I think it's been approximately 35 years since I would have attended here regularly. And it's good to see some of the elderly men that are here with the white-haired men. I'm going to say the white-haired, or if there is white hair. But it's good to see you here and the faithfulness that you portray. I'd like for you to turn with me to Acts chapter 3 for a text today. I've titled the message, Keys to Growth. I've been taking a journey through Acts in some of my preaching, and am intrigued by the early church and some of the things that have been happening. I'd like to focus today on the first 11 verses of chapter 3 and what happened here. But to give you a background, a little bit before we read that chapter, we notice in chapters 1 and 2 the Holy Spirit came to the disciples, and we see how that the people were changing. It wasn't just a few that were changing, but it became fairly obvious that many people's lives were changed. And there was reasons for this, but there was numerous comments about thousands were added to the church daily. So it's a little hard to tell how fast it actually was growing or how many grew in just several months' time. But lives were being changed, and there were reasons for that. I think the disciples were on fire for the Lord, and they're willing to share the gospel with those that they talk to. And I think that's the same thing that we have an opportunity today to minister to the lives of those around us. I see people who were willing to mind the Spirit. We see that today with Peter and John, who were willing to listen to what God had for them and how they should share the gospel. And I think we have the privilege of doing that today as well. You had the offering today for Hands of Christ, and there's many needs, and we still have, and we have in this story today of the lame man being healed, needing money, needing handout, needing something to live on. And I think we will always have those people with us. And how do we best minister to those needs? I think those are some things that we often battle with. Jesus said we will always have the poor with us, but how do we respond? How can we most ably help them? I'd like to look now at chapter 3 of Acts. I'd like to go ahead and read the whole chapter, even though we'll be looking just at the first part, for you to get the setting of how the young church was growing and how these situations of ministering to the needs helped open up doors for other ministry. It says, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it is he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, Why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you. And he killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot not that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent, ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And ye shall sound Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly saith unto the fathers, the prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. There are three questions that I would like to look at primarily in these first number of verses. First question is, what do you have to give? And this is taken from verse 6. And the other questions are, where is your power and are you ashamed? These all come from the story of the healing of this lame man. First of all, this incident happened at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when they went to the temple. This lame man was at least 40 years old. We see that in chapter 4. You know that he was above 40. He was unable to walk, and he was carried there by his family because he was unable to get there. He was a person that was recognized because he'd been there for so many years. And usually, if you were close to the temple, that was a great place to beg or to ask for money. In these times, it was strongly promoted to give alms, to give tithes, to pay attention to the poor people. And so a good place to sit was, of course, close to the temple. And so that's why he was often laid there. There were probably many people that wanted to be there, but there was only room for so many. This man had needs because he was a beggar, and people would come, and if they would stop close to him, I'm sure he would look there expecting to receive some funds. But Peter and John were not there to give what he was expecting. And I think in a lot of ways, there may be people that we can help, that we don't necessarily give what they're expecting, not of our own strength, but because of what power Jesus has in our own lives. But they ask him to look, and he in faith looked what he had. And instead of receiving funds for his existence, they gave him something so much greater than that. They healed him, and I think they showed him the way of the cross. They showed him what he could have in Jesus Christ by his healing. They could see the power, the access that they could, access to the power that he could have. This man was not just one who would sit back and say, well, thanks for healing me, and he would walk off. We see his excitement of being transformed. I think there was something more than just transformation of his body, of his muscles, but there was something going on inside that it made him understand who was changing his life. And I get excited when I see people's lives being changed because of the power of the gospel. But this lame man was changing, and he was excited about what was happening. But before that could happen, I'd like to focus a bit more on Peter and John. We know that it was just some prior to this, Peter and John were trying to decide who is the most important. They were trying to figure out who could sit with Jesus, and they were looking out pretty much for themselves. But we see here at this time, it appears that Peter and John had got those differences worked out, and their focus was on ministering to the needs of those around them. I would like to say that they were not ashamed of who they were representing. So the first question we have is, are you ashamed? Peter and John were looking for people to help. It wasn't just a coincidence that they stopped by to help this lame man. You would think he was a difficult situation. He'd been there for many years. But they had power because of what God had done for them. I have to ask the question to myself, am I ever ashamed? Even though I've got the power of Jesus in my life, do I live in a way that I am ashamed of what I have to offer? You know, I enjoy selling things, but it's pretty difficult to sell something if you don't talk about it, if you're not excited about it. It's hard to share something about the Lord if you're not excited about it, if it's not something that you enjoy talking about. They were filled with the Spirit, and they wanted to share. They were not ashamed. They were bubbling over. How can they help? We have many, many verses in the Bible that talk about not being ashamed. Psalm 119. 116 says, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. We should never be ashamed of our hope in Jesus Christ. Psalm 119:46, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. Of course, the verse that most of us know quite well, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We have many other situations in New Testament where people were not ashamed. We think of Daniel. He was not ashamed to pray. He was not ashamed to share his love with other people. You know, I can think of, it's unfortunate, but I can think of time when I was young folks. And it was just easy for me if I went to town or went to various places to figure out a way that I could just kind of blend in with the crowd. I don't need to stick out. Was that the right way? Did I show the love of others? Or did I show Jesus Christ's love to others? Or did I want to blend in? Did I want to go to places where I just assumed the youth girls wouldn't be along, knowing who I'd represent? Unfortunately, I think there were times that I was ashamed. I was scared to identify with Jesus Christ. I don't see that here with Peter and John. You know, we do have a lot to offer to the people who don't know him. One of the things that I think it's important to remember is that we do have something that is much better than the world to offer to them. We may look different, act different, dress different, but that's okay. I think in a lot of ways, if we are ashamed, we want to blend in. And it talks about a scripture that then Jesus will be ashamed of us. I have to think of a man who is attending our church, has been for several months. He's a man who has not been exposed to scripture for many, many years. He's in his upper 70s. Though he was baptized when he was a young person, he probably hasn't attended church for 60-some years. The first Sunday or two, people would have to sit beside him and show, well, I'm not sure if he had a Bible the first Sunday, but he didn't know where scripture was found. After finding it, looking at concordance, by the time the devotional was over with, he would have found the scripture. He had no idea of where things were in the Bible. And that's okay. You may find yourself in that same situation. If you're from here or visiting here today. But he is one who has been looking into the Word and studying God's Word. And if you visit there, you will find him sitting at the edge of the seat just drinking in all he can about the Word. And he told me recently that he's talked with several people on the phone. And and they ask him, his name is Robert, but they ask him, something's different about you. You're not talking the way you always have talked. John comes from a pretty bad background. Wasn't always the easiest to get along with. He's been an alcoholic. He's had a lot of other difficulties in life. And he says, I didn't know some of these things were wrong because he never was exposed to the Word. But the people he hadn't seen with and just talked over the phone, they would ask him, what's going on? What is different about you? Because they know something's not the same as it always was. They can pick it out just by a phone conversation. Does God have the power to change people's lives? I think so. It's exciting to see him come and learn, and he always talks about that he's so far behind everyone else. And we keep telling him, but that doesn't matter. It's where he's at and which way he's going. But he's coming to church because somebody was not ashamed to share the gospel with him. He lives locally, and he's drinking in the Word, and the Word is changing his life. And that's how the Lord can do in many other lives. You know, the question may be, you know, we cannot be ashamed, but the question is, what do we have to give? That's the second question. What do we have to give? Well, number one is we do not have anything to give of ourselves. We cannot change lives like Robert is changing. But we can show him to the one who is changing his life. It's God's power. God has much power. We know, we see verses clear through the New Testament of how Jesus healed people and how he changed their lives. In Luke 4, it says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And it went on to say how people were healed of unclean spirit. It says, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they came out. We don't have anything to give in one sense. In another sense, we have everything because we've got an attachment to God's power. in Acts 10. Well, Acts 10:3 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The power we have to share. And I see here Peter and John understanding a bit of the power they had. And sometimes I think for myself, I don't understand the power that we do have with Jesus Christ. We have nothing to give of ourselves, but we have Jesus Christ to offer. I'm sure you have others who attend here as well, who are looking for the word, seeing how they can attach themselves to that power. Because Jesus Christ does have everything to offer for you. Peter and John understood that power. You know, one of the greatest things that we can give to people is sharing the gospel with them. I was excited here just, I'm going to say, several weeks ago. I was talking to a father from our church, and he talked of how he was relating to his son. I'm not sure even how old his son was, 12, 13 years old. And they were working together, and he talked to his son. His son was wondering if he'd ever committed his life to the Lord. And they talked some more, and he asked him, well, is there anything that would keep you from making that decision for Christ? And the son says, no, he's ready to do that. And right there, he accepted the Lord as his Savior. And it was, it was an exciting time for him. He was unable to, due to circumstances, he could not tell his wife what happened until he came home from work the next day. And she said, well, his wife responded, well, that explains. Today just was a different day with their son. Though he's only 12 or 13 years old, he responded differently. I find that exciting. That though the mother didn't know anything about it, she could see the change life. And I think that's what Jesus Christ has to offer to each one of us. Jesus Christ does make a difference. Are we sharing that love with others? But that is the power that we have to give. We have a great power. Are we sharing that love? Are we sharing that power with those that we come in contact with? Are we willing to ask them, how are things going with you and the Lord? Have you accepted the Lord as your personal Savior? Do we dare to get involved? I would just like to challenge you to get involved with that. Are you ashamed? What do we have to give? There are several things I think of in my own personal life when I think of sharing with other people. What is my personal devotional like? Do I remember what I read 5 minutes after I read in my devotional? If you had to get up this morning and have devotions here, could you remember something that you read in this last week and have a devotional out of what you shared? Is the Bible reading meaningful for you? Or is it something you just do to get it out of the way? And I admit there are times when I don't remember well. And there's other times when I am excited about what the Lord shows in that time that I read his word. But I think it's that time that we spend in his word gives us time, gives us that time with him that allows us to to also be involved in other people's life and to dare to ask those questions. I'm always put to shame by people who talk about, so freely talk about the Lord and what he's done for them. And I kind of think, you know, I think Sunday's a pretty good safe place to do that, or Wednesday night at church. But can we do that freely during the week with those we come in contact with? And I'd like to challenge you with that. Do we realize that we have got something that people would also like to have? Do we realize what we have? Here we see Peter and John saying, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." They realize that this is the power. We see later in verse 12 or 13, they're saying, "Well, why do you look at us? I mean, you're almost acting like the power comes from us." He said, "Why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" They were incredulous that they would get the credit. But they knew where their power was at. The power was in Jesus Christ. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." We see later in chapters, I think it's chapter 7 or 8, we see Saul, when he met the Lord. Saul was not one who just had an experience and said, "I'm a Christian now." And well, he told one or two of his friends about the changed life that he had. Saul was one who was willing to tell the world. And he wasn't bashful about it. He went through lots of trials and tribulations. And he knew what it was to be on the other side, since he persecuted many Christians. But I see here a man who had a changed life. Our lives have a chance to be changed every bit as much as Saul's. When Paul was converted, his desire was that everyone else would know the joy that he had. Are we excited when people talk about meeting the Lord? Does that make us joyful? Do we want to share with other people? I think the way we live our lives, the way we involve ourselves with other people's lives, and I'm sure you do that. I think when we do that, it not only challenges them to think about their walk with the Lord, but it challenges our own lives in how we live. And I would just invite those of you younger ones, you may still be sitting with your parents or you may be up front here, to think about your walk with the Lord. You may not have a revolutionary thing happen like Saul did when he accepted the Lord. It can be a process, but it's important that you consider following after him. It does make a difference in your life. It does make a difference where you're headed. And it's something that you can consider. To think of that more, we just started instruction class out at Arlington. And as we look at his word, we look at those things that can be a help for us. And even people like Robert, who is attending just to know what he can learn, to see what he can learn during this time, is a challenge. And this morning, we had our first class this morning, and he asked those questions that for many of us would seem maybe a bit elementary, and it showed where he was at. But I love seeing his desire to serve the Lord, because it's real. What are some other things? Go back again, the questions that we have to ask. What do we have to give? Where is your power? And are you ashamed? One of the things that I think of as I look at this story, in a lot of ways, this story is a lot like our own lives. We are born into this world lame and unable to walk in the ways of God. we are poor. And so we are as sinners before God. We are unable to pay the tremendous debt to God. This beggar was outside the temple. And all of us sinners are separated from God, no matter how close to the door we might be. And for some of us, as we are born into Christian homes, we are still outside the door. We're close, but we are still outside the door. This man was healed wholly by the grace of God, and that is what happens when we accept him as our personal Savior. And when he was healed, he was able to go inside. His heart was healed. He accepted Jesus Christ. I believe he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. What is our relationship with the Lord? He was so close. He had needs. He had physical needs. He had spiritual needs. And when he accepted Jesus Christ into his life, it made all the difference. He was a different man. And he walked and leaped and he praised God. That is where we can find ourselves. And I'd like to challenge those of you who have not committed your life to the Lord to consider that as something you should do. The power of God can change your life, can change your outlook on life, can make you a different person, can make so other people will say, what is going on with you? I'd like to, again, remind you of these several questions. I'd like to close with these questions in review. What do you have to give? Remember, it's not what we have to give, but it's Jesus Christ. Where is your power? Our power is because of what God has for us. And are you ashamed? Are you willing to share your love of God to those that you come in contact with, or is it well concealed? I challenge you to ponder these questions throughout this week so that you can meet the needs, so that you can let God work in the lives of those that you meet and share his love with others. Let us kneel for prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the blessings. We thank you for the things that you've given to us. And Lord, I just thank you that we can have salvation through you, that you can heal our broken hearts, that we can accept you as our personal Savior, and that we can become new. Lord, may you help us to be the kind of people that we should be, to share your love with those we come in contact with. Help us to have a vision for the church and a vision for you and helping people see you. May you guide and bless us. In Jesus' name.